I will be speaking from the lectionary today, but I have chosen John chapter 20 and verse 21 as a summary of our lectionary readings. The title of the sermon is The Apostle Joe. Don't know if you've ever heard of the Apostle Joe or not. John 20 and 21, Jesus said unto them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this picture here of the sent one, our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The sent one who is now sending us. And so we are those who are sent by that sent one. Father, help us to know our mission. Help us to know your calling. We trust in you for the peace that is promised in this verse. We trust in you for the grace that is promised and needed for the sending and for the accomplishment of your will in our lives. We pray that you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that you have been sent? As Christians, we all have been sent according to that gospel lesson. We've been sent, as I prayed, by the sent one. And by the way, that's what it means to be an apostle. And so you are an apostle. The word apostle means to be sent, a sent one. And so, no, this isn't singularly about Joe Amedeo. Sorry about that, Joe. You're Apostle Joe, but you're not the only Apostle Joe. And no, it isn't about Joe Burrow either, although some thought he would be the one who would send good tidings to many in our congregation. Not about Joe Burrow. Or any other singular average Joe. Nor is it about any other singular above average Joe. It's about all Christians. And I want to begin by showing you a prototype figure in the scripture. A prototype who not only is a prototype of Jesus, but a prototype of all of us. Someone who was sent, someone who was an apostle. And Jesus was the sent one who is sending us. So he's a prototype of Jesus, came before Jesus, and he's a prototype of us, because we too have been sent. A prototype of us. His name is Joseph. And no, I don't mean of Mary and Joseph fame. Another Joseph. This Joseph was the son of the great patriarch Jacob. Our first lesson was about Joseph. And he was the original Apostle Joe. He was sent. Let's head back into Genesis 45 and take a look at this. If we look at verse 5 here, it says, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." God sent me before you to preserve life. You know this story. This story of Joseph takes up the final 13 chapters. A lot of material, a lot of space in the book of Genesis. Cutting to the chase here, Joseph is sent. He's a sent one. He's the Apostle Joe. More specifically, there's going to be three things that we do well to note here. Actually, there's going to be added a fourth and even a fifth thing for us to note and to remember. But there's at least three of them immediately here with regard to Joseph. Joseph is sent in respect to a place. He's sent to a place. We're going to see that he's sent for a purpose. And we're going to see that he's sent to people. But first here in verse 5, what does it say? Don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Joseph finds himself in Egypt, a foreign land. Yes, God is blessing him and helping him, but he was sold into slavery and ended up there. He describes it, you sold me here, a place. He's sent to a place. And so the first question I want to ask is, have you ever wondered, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Now, some of you may be saying, what am I doing here at Oakwood? It's a reasonable thing to ask. Others are saying, what am I doing here in Troy? Maybe you're saying, what am I doing here in New York State? All good and legitimate questions. What am I doing here? But here can be anywhere. Here can be anywhere because that is where God has placed you. Oakwood, Troy, your place of work. Maybe we're talking about a different way of looking at place, not in terms of geographical location, but in terms of circumstances. How did I get here with this divorce or this illness or this bankruptcy or this other challenge in my life or a marriage that's falling apart? How did I get here? Maybe you might be asking the question, how did I get here? Meaning, why am I here on earth anymore? The elderly often wonder, why am I still here? But the answer to all of these questions, I'm going to quote from Alistair Begg. He has a great quote about this. He says, the best place to serve God is where he has placed you today. As far as I can see, we're all still on earth. The best place to serve God is where he has placed you. So wherever you place yourself in the listing that I've given to you, the best place for you to serve God is where he has placed you today. The Apostle Joe understood place. You guys sent me here. He also understood his purpose. We're still in verse 5. For God sent me before you to preserve life. That was his purpose. To preserve life. And his purposefulness is repeated for us in verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. The word preserve there, to preserve a group of people, is in both of those verses. Few things are as important as knowing that you have purpose. When people don't feel they have a purpose anymore, they die. Few things are as important as knowing that you have a purpose. There are, of course, specifics, and it's good to know what those specifics are with regard to the purpose of your life. But generally, it's good to know that, as the Catechism cites, that the chief end of man, the chief purpose of man, and maybe you don't know this. Maybe you haven't been familiar with a document like the Heidelberg Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's a great general starting point for your purpose on earth. The chief end of man, the word end there is the whole idea of telos. It means what's the point? What's the destination? What's the end? The chief end of man is to glorify him and enjoy him. The Apostle Joe lived and breathed purposefulness. He knew he had a place, that God had put him there, and he knew that he had a purpose to preserve life. So he had place, he had purpose. How about the third thing that I told you we'd be talking about? People. And here we might say, you know, ouch. I'm here to serve other people. And I'm here to serve them, guys. I think I have a slide of verses 5 and 7. Now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you, not only to preserve this group of people, but you very guys. And to keep alive for you many survivors. 4 times here, there's an emphasis on God has done this, I'm at this place for this person, for this purpose, for you guys. I'm sure you know how this goes. I'm sure you've heard this quote before. I love humanity, it's people I can't stand. Right? He was there to preserve for the future all humanity. But no, it was for them as well. But there they are. And there they are in our gospel lesson as well. If we were to look at Luke chapter 6, but I say unto you who hear, and I wonder if we can really hear this today. I say this to you who can hear. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Those individuals I can't stand. You see, Luke 6 and 27 here is not just some platitude for Christians. The Apostle Joe lived this verse because his brothers were his enemies. And his brothers did hate him. Look at Genesis 37 and 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brother, his father loved Joseph more than they loved them, they hated him. And they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. They hated him. How about verse 5 of this very thing? Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Verse 4, they hated him. Verse 5, they hated him even more. But as always, what we find in the Bible, but wait, there's more. What's the next verse I have? I think it's verse 8, yeah. His brothers said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more. I don't know how you do even more after you've already done even more, but they accomplished that. But Joseph was committed to them because God had sent him and given him that mission. By the way, hate has a way of making itself manifest. In this very same passage, verse 18, they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Just hitting some bullets here. I hope you know the whole story of Joseph. Their conspiracy was to kill him because they hated him. Now let's look back in Luke, our gospel lesson in chapter 6 and verse 28.
Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you.
You see, just like hate has a way of making itself known, Joseph's brothers hated him and they conspired to kill him. Just like hate has a way of making itself known, so does love. It shows up in deeds. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. And so here's another question for us. Who are you blessing today? Who are you praying for today? And can you bring yourself to bless those who hate you and to pray for those who abuse you? This love shows up in deeds. Verse 30.
Give to everyone who begs from you and from one who takes away from your goods, do not demand them back.
Give to them. How about verse 35?
Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend, expecting nothing in return for your reward. It will be great. You will be sons of the Most High. He's kind to the ungrateful and the evil.
Do good and lend. Who are you doing that to and for? I'd like for us to look at 1 John chapter 3.
By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. That's Jesus. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But if anyone has this world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, not just platitudes for Christians out there. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Next chapter. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God
whom he has not seen. Anybody here like puppies? Oh, please.
Do I have to do this with every head bowed and every eye closed? If I am raising it, do you love?
Good. All right. Okay. God sends us puppies. Puppies are easy to love. But God also sends us people. He sends people into our lives. And if you're like Joseph, if you're like the Apostle Joe, you're to love them. You're to love them. And that's a bit of a bigger challenge than loving a puppy. Quite a bit of a bigger challenge. You average Apostle Joes out there, you are sent to place. You are sent with purpose. You are sent for people. Those three. But because we are sent by God, we have two more things to briefly consider. First, though, I want us to make sure we really know about this sending forth, that God is sending us. And God sent that prototype of the Apostle Joe. And so we can be confident that he sends us as well. He sent the prototype. And none of us would doubt that he sent Jesus, right? The sent one who is sending us. I think I have a slide of Genesis 45. We got all those verses there. Fantastic, Kristen. Thank you. You're doing a great job there.
Now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Look, we've talked about the fact that he was there. There's place. There's the idea of purpose is there. There's the idea of people is there. But we have to back up and we have to say that all of this is predicated on the fact that for God sent me to this place for this purpose and to you people. In verse 7, God sent me to you people and for that purpose. In verse 8, so it was not you who sent me here, but God.
God was the one who did the sending. If you were in Sunday school, you know that God is the one who works all of these things in our lives through his providence. Sending us to place, for purpose, into people's lives. It's God who does it. You don't have any encounter at any point in time in your life that God is not in control of. God has sent you. Joseph, the Apostle Joe, understood this. God sent me. And because that is so, we have God's grace. And his grace comes in two forms. It comes in the form of promise, and it comes in the form of power. And the Apostle Joe had both of them.
If we still have this last verse, I'll thank you for that too. Certainly, Joseph had power, right? God had made him a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the king.
It doesn't get any higher on earth than the Pharaoh, and God made Joseph a father to the Pharaoh. Talk about power. And talk about the fulfillment of a promise. You see, all this was predestined because of the dream that Joseph had in the beginning. And so Joseph had both the promises of God fulfilled in his life and the power of God given to him. But so do the average apostle Joes. You and I. Winding up that gospel lesson that we had read for us, Jesus promises this to us in Luke 6 and 38. You remember this? Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. You talk about the promise of God. That's a great promise. That's a great motivation for you fulfilling all of these things that we've talked about, that you have been sent for. And of course, there's this next idea here of power. And of course, there is a sense in which this particular gift of God has a component to us, a component to it that is now and not quite yet. We have just a down payment of this power. We don't have the full power now. We have a down payment of this power now. You see, we have been buried with Christ, but we are raised to new life with Him, and the raising to this new life that we now enjoy comes with power that He gives. And this was from our lesson in 1 Corinthians 15. These bodies that we have and the amount of power that we have, it is sown in weakness. Can somebody say amen? Right? I mean, look at us, you know? Pathetic, frail. I could go on, but I won't. You get the idea. Sown in weakness. The verse doesn't end there. It is raised in power. Now, this is about the resurrection and the finality and the completeness and the fullness of the power. But as we've come to Christ, we've been buried with Him. As we come to our baptism, we died with Him. We are crucified with Him. But we also live in this hope of newness of life. And the New Testament talks over and over about the fact that we are already co-risen with Christ. We have a down payment of that power. Every apostle, Joe, has that. And so to summarize again, every apostle Joe is sent. Every apostle Joe is sent to a place, is sent with purpose, is sent for people, and is sent obtaining promises from God, and is sent possessing the power of God. And all God's people said, amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this gospel lesson and this Old Testament lesson where we have visited upon the Apostle Joe. And Father, even that summary verse, we're reminded that from the mouth of Jesus we learn that as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for the challenges of the gospel lesson. Perhaps, Father, Lord God, our most difficulty is coming to grips with the place that you have sent us. Sometimes it's coming to grips with the purpose with which you have sent us. Sometimes it comes to grips with the people that you have sent us to. But, oh, Lord God, we thank you for you sending us. And we thank you for the promise that that brings and for the power that that brings. Thank you, Lord God, that thou art good and thou doest good. Help us to fight the good fight and to be on your side all of our days. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.